Good afternoon, good evening, and good night, and welcome back to A Link to the Cast, the UK's premier video games podcast. This is episode 15. Loads of stuff coming up on the podcast today, so thanks for downloading us via alinktothecast.co.uk and via iTunes as well. Loads of reviews on the way. We're going to review the biggest game of the year so far, it has to be said. It's Red Dead Redemption. Yes, we heard from Laszlo in the last podcast. Well, Brian Shelf has been playing his way through Red Dead Redemption. How many hours did he manage? We'll find out in a little while. We're also going to talk about the Xbox exclusive Alan Wake, which I know has been dividing Brian's time, video games-wise, over the last 2 weeks or so. We're going to do a review as well. FIFA World Cup 2010 on Wii, and Rickard 2 has been playing on the PS3. Rick's going to do a review as well in this podcast of Mod Nation Races, which is a PS3 exclusive as well. Rick, you're travelling out to E3 very soon, a matter of days, so depending on when people listen to this, you may already be out there in LA. What's it like?
Oh, it's going to be an absolute festival of video games. And speaking of festivals of video games, isn't this podcast one? Jesus, we're trying to pack it all in today.
Absolutely. We've not even got time to talk about the fact that sort of games legend Charlie Brooker, who is a major video games fan, you'll know him from You Have Been Watching and Newswipe, Screenwipe.
Gameswipe as well.
Yeah, Gameswipe has today announced he's going to marry Connie Hook off of Blue Peter.
Really? I didn't see that coming.
I know Brian Shelf is a big fan of Connie. You must have been devastated by the news.
Yeah, in part, I think it means that there's hope for visually challenging foul-mouthed gaming geeks, so it seems. So, you know, not that bad.
Yeah, so you didn't hear it here first, because you probably heard it already, but Charlie Brooker and Connie Hook, yes, they are to be wed. So, load of reviews on the way. Red Dead Redemption, Alan Wake, FIFA World Cup 2010, Mod Nation Races as well, and we're going to talk about Super Mario Galaxy 2, which hits the shops on publishing day of this podcast, so depending on when you're listening to it, it's already out there, and we're going to be doing a bit of a special next time around. Well, let's reacquaint ourselves with the team. My name's Mick, and I look at all things Nintendo, both on Wii and DS. Rick, we've already heard from, he's a PS3 man. And Brian Shelf as well, the man with the Xbox 360 hat.
It is a beautiful hat as well, isn't it?
So loads of stuff to come on the podcast. It's going to be absolutely ram-packed today. But normally as part of the show, to sort of build up the characters of the people involved in the podcast, I like to ask a question which gives people a better sense of who they're listening to. Both myself, Mick, Rick, and also Brian. Today I'm asking the question, what is the most pointless peripheral you've ever bought? What's the most pointless peripheral you've ever bought? The reason I raised this question is that I was playing around with my new TV, and I was sorting out my wires, and I was trying to get things in place, etc. And I kept coming across this wire, this one wire, which was really annoying me. I thought, what earth is that for? You know what it was? It was for Wii Speak.
Oh, you tried to talk to me on that once. Oh. You sent me a little voice message and...
It promised so much, but yeah, it failed so badly. It's got so... I mean,
there's like two titles that use it. Yeah, exactly.
I think that the two titles, one of them is Monster Hunters and the other is... What was the other one in the end?
Is that Shooter? The something beginning with C.
The Conduit.
There you go.
Yeah, that was also supported it, but only if you had sort of friend codes and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
It didn't have that sort of like free roaming, get on Mario Kart Wii and have a good old laugh. None of that was just available. So I'm going to say that Wii Speak, unless, you know, there's some great announcement at E3, will go down as the biggest waste of cash peripheral wise that I've actually had to spend. Brian, what's the worst peripheral that you've ever bought?
I think it was this Xbox 360 hat, which is a little bit on the heavy side. And Wii Speak, obviously.
Yeah. And Rick, I've got to ask you, what is the most pointless peripheral that you've ever bought? Don't tell me you bought the fishing rod from Sega Bass Fishing.
No. Very tempting as it was, because I heard there was some other sort of rowing game you could use it for. I don't know. But I got the PlayStation 2 network adapter. And you know what? I've still got the thing, even though there isn't any kind of online support for the PS2 at all anymore. So, yeah, I think there's only ever a couple of games that really use that. And, you know, Time Splitters, I was a massive fan of. So, yeah, we've got a few games of Time Splitters 3 online, but that was about it, really.
Rubbish. Shame. PS2, right. It was flagged up as being a big online thing. Dreamcast was the same, wasn't it? You know, it was saying you and 6 billion other potential gamers. I didn't notice anyone in, you know, Saharan Africa with a Dreamcast. In fact, I didn't know anyone down my road with a Dreamcast either.
Nobody in this country, nobody within my circle of friends at all, really. So, oh well, what can you do?
Yeah, absolutely. Here's the headline competition. Okay, so the headline competition works like this. You know you love it. The way it works is... this isn't ironic, this competition. This is a genuine competition. If you want to get involved, then feel free to play along at home, maybe on the bus, wherever you listen to the podcast. Basically, there is a new story, which I'm going to give you the details of. I want you to imagine what the headline would be if it was to appear in the tabloid newspapers. So I'm trying to get a clever headline, a clever pun, something like this. And it's the news that the X Factor is going to get its own video game. Yes, maybe you've been playing Red Dead Redemption. Maybe you're a hardcore gamer. Well, Wii, PS3 and Xbox 360 in October or November is going to get its very own X Factor title. I mean, I presume it's some sort of SingStar title or something like that. Lips, you know, along those lines. But X Factor is coming to a video games console near you. Now you know that information. If you were to write a story about that and it was to go in a newspaper and there was going to be a clever headline with it, what would the headline be? Does that make sense, Rick?
Just about. I think we're there, yeah.
Brian, are you okay with that one?
Yeah, I'm good. I've got two already, but they're both a bit rubbish. And I expect you probably have got the one that I've already got.
So that's the headline competition. We'll do the answers at the end of the podcast. Should we do the news? Right, I'm going to kick off with the UK video games chart because Brian and I were having a conversation at the weekend. We were talking about the fact that this has been an absolutely outstanding year for video games so far. It's been really good. There's been loads of games out there, sort of Red Dead Redemption being one of those sort of pinnacle titles. I know Brian, too, has been playing a lot of Alan Wake as well. But I'll give you the top five now. Red Dead Redemption, the number one video game in the UK at the moment, followed by FIFA World Cup. So we'll have a review of both of those. UFC 2010 Undisputed in at number 3. We've got Just Dance, which is that daft dancing game, at 4. And Wii Fit Plus still holding in there at number 5. Although, to be fair, Just Dance and Wii Fit Plus are about $17.99 each, I think, compared to full price titles that we've heard before that.
And, you know, Just Dance has been out for way before Christmas. It's doing tremendously well. I think we're going to see a bit of a deluge of dancing games in the next year. In fact, I'm pretty sure at E3 somebody's already tapped me up to have an interview with a non-celebrity about such a thing, but we'll come back to that next time.
Excellent stuff. And I notice as well, Modern Nation Races is in there, so all the games we're going to review this week are all related to the top sort of 10 at the moment. In fact, Modern Nation's in at 11, so just outside the top 10. Yeah, but 2010, great gaming year so far. If you want to tweet us, if you just search for A Link to the Cast, if you want to tweet your ideas for the great games that you've had so far, maybe the great games that you've played, maybe there's a game from 2009 that you're still playing, let us know via Twitter. Just go to twitter.com/alinktothecast, or if you go to www.alinktothecast.co.uk, you can email us through there. At the moment, we're having a look at the news, and Rick, of course, you're off to E3. Just having a look at some of the possibilities which are going to be on show at E3 that you're going to be able to get your hand on. Of course, we've talked about Natal, we've talked about PS Move, we've talked about very briefly the 3DS, which hopefully we'll get an insight into. Some of the other things that are going to be on the way, I'm looking at Capcom, for instance. They're introducing Marvel versus Capcom 3. That's going to include Captain America, Iron Man and Wolverine.
They've got a great heritage of doing these crossover sort of beat-em-up titles as well. So, yeah, I mean, they're both really rich IPs that they can bring to the sort of beat-em-up genre. I'm looking forward to that.
Absolutely. Like I say, loads of stuff on its way. Bionic Commando Rearm 2 is going to be coming
we'll
out.
We'll see about that.
That's going to be a follow-up to Bionic Commando Rearm, not surprisingly. Occam Eden, which is Akami's DS equivalent, which is going to be on its way. That looks very nice.
Did you ever play the first one? It's one of my favourite sort of a little kind of just relax games.
No,
just
absolutely.
A game that you can just sort of chill out with. It's just so visually stunning. And yeah, the sequel to that, I'm sure, is going to be just as beautiful to play as well.
Dead Rising 2 is going to get announced as well. I tell you what I'm quite looking forward to. A couple of titles, one on PSP, and that's saying something. Resident Evil Portable, I presume that will have a different name. And also on the 360, Monster Hunter makes its debut on the 360 with Monster Hunter Frontier. You would think with the setup and the multiplayer options on the 360, that could be very exciting.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little bit gutted, if I'm going to be honest, that they haven't actually brought the many of the PS3 versions of Monster Hunter outside of Asia, because there's been about 3 iterations released in Japan and they're massive successes over there, and yet we don't get to see them here in Europe. And yeah, like we were talking about in the last podcast, it's just got such a good community about it. And everything I loved about Lost Planet 2, the fact that you could work as a team to take down these huge monsters, it was exactly what made that game so brilliant. So yeah, a little bit gutted it's going to 360 before it comes to the PS3 over here, but hey, it'll be great.
And we were talking about on the last podcast this idea that GoldenEye could make a return in some form on a Nintendo console. We understand there'll be some sort of announcement in regard to the next James Bond title at E3, so Rick, will you please promise me that at some stage you will get to the bottom of what the heck is going on with GoldenEye 2010?
But do you really want to know? I mean, I've just got so much cynicism about this whole...
I just want
trying
to bring
GoldenEye back. It was brilliant in its day, but anyone that's tried playing it again later, it's just...
I just want to get to the bottom of it. I want to know whether or not it's going to happen, or if it's not going to happen. If it's going to happen, it's going to be no good. We'll happily slag it off. That's no problem. Yeah. That's nice and easy.
Because what was the other FPS that came out after the original GoldenEye?
Perfect Dark.
Perfect Dark, brilliant. And then they made an Xbox version of it, 2 years ago? Rubbish. Sank.
That was one of the original Xbox 360 titles, I think, wasn't it?
There
Joanna
you go,
Dark,
yeah.
Or Beyond... Oh, forget what it was called. The worst thing about Perfect Dark was that annoying alien called Elvis. Oh, it was like... That was totally jumping the shark. I mean, the game was great up to that point, but the alien with an American... He had like an American flag waistcoat, as I remember. Maybe that was an unlockable. I can't remember. Elvis the alien. I don't know. That was the news. Okay, so you're listening to A Link to the Cast. Thanks for downloading us. This is episode 15. Loads of great reviews on the way. But just to try and put this in context as to where we are at the moment, we're recording this in the middle of June, just before the start of the FIFA World Cup. It's due to start in a couple of days' time. Also due to be released in a couple of days' time, Super Mario Galaxy 2. And also in a couple of days' time, Rick is due to travel out to E3, to LA, to get all the latest from E3 and bring us all the latest news on all the latest games as well. So, Rick, is it fair to say these are fairly exciting times?
Absolutely. And what with the World Cup as well, I'm a little bit gutted I'm going to actually miss the opening game for England, because I'm going to be flying to LA at the time. But, you know, getting into E3 as well and being able to see all of this exciting technology, the likes of Natal and Move and everything we've already mentioned, it's going to be great times for gaming right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And depending on when you're listening to this, what a great victory for England. What a terrible defeat for England. What a boring draw for England.
What an absolutely awful game.
What a great goal was scored by
Emil Heskey, obviously.
I can't believe that sending off on that offside decision. I'm trying to cover all the bases here, bearing in mind the game hasn't actually happened. Yeah. But we're going to get to Rick in a moment, because he's done a review for PS3's Mod Nation Racers, currently the 11th best-selling game of the month so far. But Brian Shelf, we've got to kick it off with you. We were talking about it with Laszlo last week. The biggest game of the year so far, without a doubt, it's Red Dead Redemption.
Red Dead Redemption, indeed. Laszlo talking about it on the last podcast and just made it sound amazing. I mean, I was really particularly excited about it just because, you know, and I think Laszlo made a lot in the interview of trying to say it wasn't just Grand Theft Auto set in the Wild West. Which it is. Well, no, it's not. It's not at all, actually. That's unfair. I mean, it's the same game. It's the same engine, without a doubt. It's the same sort of system of you get little letters on the map and you go to there and it triggers the next task. You know, when you get caught doing something, you know, you do something transgressive, you get chased by people on horses. And although you're being chased by people on horses, there's still a red and blue flashing circle. Well, it's not red and blue flashing circle. I think it's just a red circle on your radar. So, I mean, you know, in essence, it is the same game. But what is so good about it is that, you know, first of all, there was nothing wrong with the game in the first place. I think people have realised this over Grand Theft Auto. Some people were disappointed when Grand Theft Auto 4 came along and said, oh, I was expecting something a bit different. No, it works. It works perfectly as a format. For me as well, you know, as a story hater, you know, it's great in the fact that you can kind of choose where you want to go. And if you're enjoying one particular type of task, you know, you can carry on doing that. It's got that kind of non-linear play to it, but within a linear format. So if it's not broke, don't fix it. What is great about it is is that they have created a whole new world. You know, it's amazing. It could not be visually more different from Grand Theft Auto 4. You've got these huge, massive, sparse, spare places, you know, which is great. You know, you can sort of go anywhere particularly you want. You're riding on horses instead of cars this time. And, you know, that's been really, really well worked out. And the carts are great as well when you're riding in a horse and cart. It's really, really good. The tasks tend to be the same sort of tasks. They tend to be, you know, drive here, shoot that, drive here, ride here, shoot that person, ride back, ride here, shoot some people, find a thing, shoot some more people, ride back, protect someone. You know, it's the same sort of tasks, but, you know, that's the joy of these games, is you know exactly what you're getting. And it's been so perfectly realised as well. You know, there's really, really good characters in it. I think your main character is actually probably more appealing than the main character in Grand Theft Auto 4, whose name eludes me for the moment, which is stupid given the amount of time I played for it. Is it Nico? Yeah, it's Nico. And also, I think visually, he's actually more impressive this time. I mean, the amount of detail on the clothing is absolutely incredible. The other characters are fantastic as well. You've got this grave robber you have to deal with for a long period of time. You've got a drunk Irishman, which brings me actually quite neatly onto something which I'm going to touch on in my review of Alan Wake. The voice acting, you know, Rockstar are head and shoulders above everyone else for just creating convincing characters. I mean, they're a bit two-dimensional. You know, it's very good versus evil. The drunk Irishman is a drunk Irishman who's always getting in scrapes. You know, it's a little bit stereotypical, possibly a little bit racist as well, but who knows. But, you know, Grand Theft Auto, I think, has always worn its racist, in inverted commas, badge on its sleeve in the fact that it really plays up to these stereotypes, and everybody is stereotyped in it. There's nobody picked out as someone precious that you can't mock. Everybody gets mocked throughout these games, so, you know, you can't really criticise it for that. But, you know, the voice acting is absolutely incredible, and the character acting is really, really good as well. You know, the cutscenes are great. It's not just people walking backwards and forwards in a room, you know, people actually, you know, interact in a very realistic way. And the great little things that, you know, you get when you're riding somewhere with someone, you get little bits of conversation that kind of flesh out backstories, you know, and I'm not a story person, as has been pointed out many times by myself in this. You know, it's just greatly enjoyable. There's some nice little new features that you kind of didn't have in the old one. There's Deadeye, which is if you click down on your little joystick thing while you're doing it, everything goes in slow motion and you can move up in different things. I'm now at the third stage where you can actually slow everything down, pick off the particular places that you want to shoot and the order in which you want to shoot them. It's great for when you're doing what's it called? You know, when you stand opposite someone, a duel, you know, when you're having the showdowns, you know, it's great for that. It's really, really good. The one thing I haven't done is played it online particularly very much. You know, because first of all, I don't normally tend to go for the Xbox Live thing. I got you can do it for a month for £1, so I did that, kind of went on. It's, for me, it's the usual online gaming experience of I appear, I get shot a lot, and I get bored, and I leave. I'm sure there's probably more to it than that. But overall, you know, this game has not failed to disappoint. No, has not failed to the opposite of disappoint. It's not disappointing. It's fantastic. It's really, really good. I can lose vast amounts of time for it. It's a real... I'll just do one more thing and then I'll go to bed. But just excellent. Really, really good. And without a doubt, there'll be downloadable content coming for it at some point again. So we'll have the equivalent of Lost and Damned and the Ballad of Gay Tony, you know, in the Wild West, you know, which it's just great. Superb. Can't fault them. Well done, Rockstar. Again, brilliant.
All right, so what would make you stop playing that?
What would make me stop playing it? Well, the answer is, you'll find out in a minute or two when I do my next review, which is Alan Wake.
All right, well, I'll tell you what, Brian, don't do your review for Alan Wake yet, because we don't want too much Brian Shelf in one chunk. Hold on to that while we absorb Red Dead Redemption, and we'll do the Alan Wake review. It's an Xbox 360 exclusive in just a couple of moments' time. Now, this week, this month, I've been playing FIFA World Cup 2010, as I said, just before the World Cup when we're recording this, so it's ideal time to be playing these sorts of games. Now, to start off the review, I will say that the last FIFA game I played was FIFA 09, and I wasn't very impressed. It was FIFA 09 on Wii. It was top-down rather than from side to side. I didn't really like that. There were one or two online issues with streaming problems, players appearing out of nowhere. I wasn't really a big fan of that. So I went into this with a fairly open mind. I was aware that I played games in the past which I hadn't enjoyed, but I'm of the view that, you know, from FIFA 08, FIFA 07, that FIFA titles, when they're at their best, are absolutely outstanding. And, in terms of this game, it's an enjoyable bit of FIFA fodder. The movement on there is great. Control-wise, ignore the idea of using a Wiimote and a nunchuck. Don't bother with that. It's a complete waste of time. What you've got to use, really, is a classic controller. If you've got one, they're ideal. Maybe you've got the Classic Controller Pro, which comes free with Monster Hunter's Try. That's even better. But use the classic controllers. Football games don't really work with Wiimotes and nunchucks. Graphically, it's okay. It's not as good as its HD equivalents, but actually, from a footballing point of view, frame rate is smooth. It's gone for a slightly more cartoony style, but actually, the Wii has proved that things look slightly better when they're in that format on the Wii console. So, graphics look good, usual FIFA fodder, control and movement, yeah, pretty good. One or two nice touches as well, because it's the FIFA World Cup version of the game. It's all sort of got the World Cup branding on it. There's one or two options as well. For instance, you can set up your own dream team, which is a nice little touch. You can play other teams from around the world. You can then, if you beat them, take one of their players and then set up your own team. You can then save your team to your Wiimote, take it around to your friend's house and play them. Now, I think that's quite a nice little touch. The other thing, which is the annoying thing, which if you're watching the World Cup at the moment, you will realise, those vuvuzelas, horns, are they called?
Vuvuzelas.
Vuvuzelas. They're all over. They're absolutely all over the sound. So it's a little bit annoying. There is the option, though, to turn it off. There's also an option to turn off the...
There's an actual vuvuzela option.
No, yeah, absolutely. There's also the option to turn off some confetti that you see that follows your cursor around. So you can turn that off if you want. The sound is, of course, spot on as usual. Crowd effects, great. Commentary is always absolutely spot on as well. So sounds good. Graphics good. Movement controls look good. For a FIFA game, it's pretty good. There are one or two cartoony moments that are a little bit annoying. For instance, if you shoot from about, say, 40 yards out on the pitch and your keeper saves it chest height, he actually has like a little spray of like dust comes out of his hand, like a little cloud, which I think is a little bit twee maybe for a game. Although there is a sort of general cartoony style to the Wii players, you would think actually you don't really need that. That for me was a little bit annoying. The other thing that's a little bit annoying is you get these moments, and they've tried this out in a couple of games in the past, where you have slow-mo. So, for instance, if you're about to hit an absolute humdinger of a shot and the computer thinks that it's going to go in, or there's a chance that it might be a good shot, it goes into like this slow motion mode and you get this sound effect kicks in, which when you first see it, you think, oh, that's okay. But for instance, imagine if the ball is bouncing around in the box and it's bouncing off defenders, you're trying to shoot. Every time you go and shoot, you kick into this. It can happen sometimes three or four times in very, very quick succession. That actually is a little bit annoying.
Just drags, I'm sure.
The other thing is...
Does it happen when the computer shoots against you as well?
It does.
Because that surely throws your tackling timing all to pieces.
There's not an option, I must make out as well, to turn that off.
Ugh.
Which I think is a little bit annoying.
Tragic.
In terms of the options, actually, this is massively stripped down for a FIFA title. There aren't a number of options on there. For instance, to be able to turn that off, I would love to have turned that off because it is quite annoying. There's a couple of other sort of niggly problems with the team management. For instance, I was playing as England yesterday. Rio Ferdinand was sent off. What I wanted to do was to reshape my team and nudge a couple of players around. Now, in the past, FIFA had given you the ability, for instance, I'm thinking of the old PlayStation versions, the ability to actually nudge players in certain directions. You know, specifically, you know, literally put defenders closer together. All you're really given in this title is the option of a formation. So, for instance, if you have a central defender sent off, in this situation, I couldn't then replace Rio Ferdinand or put a player in Rio Ferdinand's position because on the team management selection board, he was still on the pitch, but he just had a red card next to his name.
And so it doesn't matter what formation you choose, you've got a big hole at the back.
Exactly.
You can't seal it up.
Now, as far as I can tell, there's not an option there. But like I say, the options are really stripped back. So that was a little bit annoying. The other thing with FIFA games, which I've really enjoyed in the past, is, for instance, if you get a free kick, you've got the arrow which appears in front of you. You can move it up and down. You can swerve it left and right. In this, there's not that option. It's simply a case of hit the ball and it goes towards a certain sort of type of player. So there are one or two features that you would normally expect from a FIFA game which appear to have been stripped right back. Apart from that, though, I would say pretty much this game is designed to be a little bit of fun, a little bit of a filler for the World Cup. Absolutely, if you've been watching the World Cup and you've got mates around, as soon as the game ends, you're going to want to stick this sort of title on. Is it an enjoyable game? Absolutely, it's an enjoyable game. One or two maybe niggly things, yes. One or two things that could be sorted and will be sorted for FIFA 11, absolutely.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned all these, like, you not be able to restructure the formation or the options not really being there for you, because when you get it on a true next gen console, you get all of those options and so much more thrown in. What is it like if you take it online? Because that's certainly where I found that FIFA on the PS3 and certainly the Xbox really shines.
No, absolutely. And online, like I mentioned, FIFA 09 had one or two sort of niggles online. Not noticed any major problems apart from the fact that everyone else is really, really good. FIFA is one of those games where when you're playing somebody who's good, you're playing somebody who's very good. You know, for instance, the tricks that you throw. You know, there's always somebody who's got these tricks down so well that they'll literally just walk past you every single time. I've always found it. Do you remember Super Mario Strikers? I think it was called Strikers Charged or something like that.
That's it.
That was another of those games, football games. For some reason, I've got this perennial problem of being massively frustrated when playing online. But not, I'm glad to say, for gameplay and lagging issues. Mm.
Well, FIFA on the PS3 and on the Xbox, it makes a real effort to make it actually quite tricky to do just that, to just waltz past any player. You've got to have some real skills in the game to do it, because the trick button formations are just so intricate, and you've really got to contort and, you know, access precision movements while you're sprinting down the field at the right timing in order to do your step overs and your Marseille roulettes. That's what Zidane's little trick was called, wasn't it? Anyway, so it's a real skill and a real knack to being able to do it, but it doesn't stop the thousands of people who are playing it online already and have obviously spent so many hours playing it. It's a great game, and certainly, I don't know about you, but compare it to any of the other football games out on the market right now, and it really is the only solution for the World Cup fix, as far as I'm concerned.
No, absolutely. And I guess if the question is what will make me stop playing this game, then the actual World Cup. Now, I'm playing this as almost like a build-up, a filler, you know, until the World Cup. When actually the World Cup's on, I'd be interested to see whether or not I'm going to use the time after the games to play this, or whether or not that will be enough of my fix. I've got a feeling, though, the main issue is going to be Mario Galaxy 2, which I think is going to be all-encompassing. So this is going to be, I think, a great summer hit. It's going to be a great bit of filler that will carry you over certainly until FIFA 11. It's one of them, though. If England get knocked out in the first round, does it take away the sheen of playing FIFA World Cup 2010? You know, if your memories of the tournament are a little bit jaded, remains to be seen, I think. But once the World Cup is up and running, I think I can probably give you a better answer.
And I certainly, once England have been knocked out, wouldn't go out and buy a new classic controller so, you know, two or three of my mates can play it. So it's a little bit of a trick there, but hey.
Okay, so that's FIFA World Cup 2010. It's out now on pretty much every single platform available, and an interesting title, given the state of play at where we are in the world at the moment. Now, Rick, this week has been playing Mod Nation Racers, which is available on PS3. But, Rick, we've got to just give a quick mention to Lost Planet 2. You reviewed it in the last podcast, but you didn't have the option of playing it online. You've now had a chance to do that. Just quickly, give us a sense of what you made of it.
Okay, well, there's some things that work really well, and like I said, going against this single-player sort of campaign missions, trying to tackle those massive monsters, that is just epic and brilliant action, everything you could have wanted from Lost Planet 2. But there's some things where it really fails, and if you're looking for a game that maybe gives you this sort of multiplayer deathmatch experience, then this definitely isn't it, because more often than not, you find that the game just ends up revolving around one spawn point where people just spawn, throw a grenade, get killed, and then their grenade kills another two, and it's just rubbish.
Trouble in Paradise.
It's just one aspect of the multiplayer. The main thing, the campaign level, is just so good online. It just feels like such a letdown with the other competitive multiplayer angles.
Excellent stuff. Well, not really excellent stuff, but if you want to combine that with the last podcast, go to the website, alinktothecast.co.uk, or go to iTunes, download episode 14. You can hear part one of that review, in which we lived in hope that it was going to be an outstanding online experience as well.
And it is, for the most part. Just don't try and play it competitively.
which is why people go online, but never mind. Now, Brian Shelf is standing by. He's going to review Alan Wake. We've already had Red Dead Redemption. But Rick, tell us about Mod Nation Races on PlayStation 3, exclusive to PlayStation 3.
Yeah, and it's the latest game to have that whole play, create, share ideal that Sony's been hyping up for so many years. So with Little Big Planet having recently announced its 2 millionth online published level from user-generated content, this couldn't come at a better time for Mod Nation Races, really. So what this gives you is the freedom to create your own little mod, which is a little driving character, his own little cart, and, of course, ultimately, your own circuits, and share all of those online and pick out the best ones that you can find on there as well. And it's a real freedom that has actually been concentrated on, because a lot of people found the Little Big Planet level editing experience quite tricky and quite a niche process to actually finally get through to publish a level. So this has been stripped back, and one of the most simplest joys in this game is making your own circuit, because it uses the same buttons that you use to control your go-kart, and you basically just drive a new course. So you accelerate to go straight, and you turn, and you can pitch up and down if you want to go up and down hills, and then you can mold the terrain afterwards. And it's really simple experience, but at the same level it still has all the depth, because once you've finished driving your circuit out, you can either just hit one button and the game will automatically populate that course for you, putting the weapons power-ups, all the turbo pads and things, and all the scenery around it, or you can meticulously place it exactly how you want to yourself. And what that means is that already, and this has only been out for a couple of weeks, you're seeing pretty accurate homages to circuits from all around the world, the likes of Laguna Seca or the Top Gear Test Track or even the Monte Carlo Grand Prix. You can actually race them in Mod Nation Races. And of course, there's a fair few circuits based around the likes of Mario Kart and things, so you can get the Mario circuit and Star Wars Tatooine.
Well, there's the obvious comparisons when people will talk about this is the PlayStation's version of Mario Kart. I noticed there's an advert on the TV at the moment for Blur, and it sort of takes the mick out of the sort of fluffy races. But I mean, I think it's been a little bit cheeky, I think, given the playability of games like this. But the Mario Kart, comparisons, are they fair enough?
Well, you know what, I'd say they certainly are. I think there's a little bit of a stumbling block for Mod Nation Races in the single player experience, and the fact that it kind of complicates some of the circuits that you're introduced to a little bit too early. Like the first two or three circuits are very kind of straight racing experiences, and you need that just to get a hang of the controls, but by the fourth or fifth circuit you're already being introduced to items of scenery which can fall onto the track or explode while you're driving past, so it gets a little bit tricky a little bit quicker than you'd maybe think Mario Kart would have a better learning curve. But of course, once you've learn to deal with those kinds of items, and once you can recognize what they are, you're well away by that point in time, and playing it as it's meant to be, which is online, is an absolute dream. The network coding in there is superb. I've not had any lagging issues at all so far, and it's an absolute pleasure to play.
No, absolutely. And if you go on online to any sort of the gaming websites, GameSpot or anywhere like that, you actually find sort of some of the videos if you want to check them out. For instance, the track editor is absolutely fascinating. When you get the actual truck going out and laying the circuit on the on the terrain.
They've really tried to recreate that kind of friendliness that, again, Little Big Planet had, and it kind of introduced to the tools. But like I say, I think the problem with Little Big Planet was maybe the complexity of having to deal with all those tools, whereas this, it's just a lot simpler, it's a lot easier, a lot more fun to just make your own go-kart and track and just share them online. It's a very, very streamlined, very clean experience, and that goes for the racing. You're always going to get robbed on one race or two by a missile coming and hitting you on the final corner and you trailing across the line in third or fourth when you were first, but that's what this kind of racing game is, and there's no reason why Mod Nation Races should be any different for that.
I've got a question for you, Rick. It's what would make you stop playing Mod Nation Races?
Well, to be honest, E3 is going to have to be E3, because that's the only game I'm really playing at home when I just want to relax at the moment. So once I'm deprived of my PS3 for a week or two, and it's going to have to stop, isn't it?
There we go. Mod Nation Race is available on PlayStation 3. Brian Shelf has been sitting on his Alan Wake review. Brian, we will hold you back no longer.
Yeah, Alan Wake, as we were saying earlier on, this year is just so incredible for games. And I think this game, you know, I saw the publicity for it all over the place. I had no idea what it was about. I think I saw it in Game or Game Station or something, and it had one of the Xbox, you know, whatever the equivalent of Xbox Mii's are. I forget what they're called, your avatar or whatever. And I thought that was going to be the main character, and kind of didn't think anything of it. And then, you know, Red Dead came along, and then, you know, I just thought, you know, I was kind of, it was tough to get hold of Red Dead to start off with, although we got a review copy sent through, which was great, but while I was sort of waiting for that, I decided to buy Alan Wake in the meantime, sort of knowing nothing about it and thinking, oh, well, I can always trade it in if I don't like it, you know, and instantly lose 15 quid off what I spent. However, it's absolutely stunning. The thing that got me straight away, one, is it's really impressive to look at, graphically incredible. It depends a lot on light and dark, right? It's kind of like this story that you're a writer and you've gone to this retreat with your wife, and then she goes missing, and then you wake up in this sort of weird dark world, and you've got these horrible things coming at you, and you've got a torch, and you shine your torch at them, and that makes them real, and then you can shoot them down. That's kind of basically the mechanic for the whole game. But one of the great things is, because you've got this torch, just the actual depth of the graphics is incredible. As you're shining this torch around, all the shadows go all over the place. It's just so incredibly well realized. The other thing is, and within about a quarter of an hour of playing it, I realized that this was exactly what Resident Evil 5 should have been. Resident Evil 5, one of my most disappointing gaming experiences of last year. After Resident Evil 4, a truly, truly creepy and scary gaming experience where I jumped out of my skin on a number of occasions. You know, I've gone back and played it, you know, a number of times. I thought Resident Evil 5, brilliant. It, you know, I could not get more excited. And they'd taken away all of that out of the game and turned it into a really quite boring first person or third person, I can't even remember, shooter. There didn't seem to be that sense of creepiness, because it was set in, you know, it was really bright, and the camera was kind of weird, so the camera kind of made it feel claustrophobic, not the scenes made it feel claustrophobic, and you had a cooperative character who kept getting in the way all the time, and it was just, I didn't enjoy it. Alan Wake has made me jump more than Resident Evil 4 has done. It is amazingly creepy, because it's so dark, and because you're shining this torch around and just getting these little glimpses of stuff, and the sound design on it as well, which is a particular area of interest of mine, is incredible. It's really, really good. You've got these really sort of creepy sounds, and you can hear stuff coming up behind you, and it's just really well treated in surround as well. Occasionally, when some of these things appear, the camera will slow down, and you'll get this really kind of weird creepy, and you realise that all this stuff's behind you, and you're going to have to turn around again. It's just absolutely amazing. Really incredibly creepy. It's very story heavy, which normally doesn't appeal to me, but it's great. It kind of covers up for the fact that it's a very, very linear game. It's incredibly linear. You just go from here to there to there to there. You can kind of sneak off in little directions at points and just pick up little bits of hidden stuff, but, you know, it's pretty much A to B to C to D to E going on. Story wise, it's a little bit ham fisted. It's a little bit like a 13-year-old trying to copy Stephen King, who's not even a particularly good writer, in my honest opinion, in the first place. So that's kind of a little bit ham fisted, but it never really gets in the way. It just, you know, drives you forward into different locations, doing different things. However, as I mentioned in the Red Dead Redemption review, one of the biggest problems with the game, it's the biggest problem with the game, but it hasn't stopped me enjoying it, is that the voice acting is appalling. You know, this is a big Microsoft title. It's, you know, they've obviously spent a lot of money. It's so much effort has gone into the game engine, into the level design. It never gets boring. You know, so much time has gone in. You think, could you have not spent a little bit more money on actually decently directing the voice actors? I don't think it's the voice actors' fault. I think it's a common problem throughout most gaming. It feels very much like it feels, it's like you're watching it and you can almost sense this person is sat in a studio reading these lines off a piece of paper, which is something you don't get in Red Dead Redemption at all. You actually genuinely feel that these two people in the room talking to each other. You just don't get it in Alan Wake, and it makes me cringe every time, you know, another bit of ham-fisted dialogue, which was probably poorly written in the first place, but it's then kind of poorly presented, and you just think, come on, guys, it couldn't be that much more expensive to just spend a little bit more time in the studio and get some proper, you know, voice direction on it. You know, it somewhat lets it down, only slightly, because the whole thing about the game is that it's very, very creepy. The other thing is, oh, by the way, I didn't even mention it, on a technical level, what's even more impressive is there's virtually no loading times at all, which is something, you know, I thought was a thing of the past, that we'd, you know, constantly be waiting for stuff to load up. You know, Red Dead Redemption's got some really quite long load times in it, which is frustrating. You know, when you go to the missions, or if you have to restart a mission, there's pretty much no loading times in this, and the areas are vast. Boring geeky fact here, you can sort of tell how they've done it, in the fact that you're sort of going through these big long areas and then suddenly you'll have to drop down to something else, and there'll be some steps you're supposed to go down and the bottom half of the steps is missing. So as you go off it, you know that the new piece of scenery is being loaded, and it stops you going back to the old piece. So, you know, it always, because it's very linear, it always does that. But, you know, it kind of means that you don't get any interrupted flow to the gaming, and the cutscenes cut straight in and play along. It's, you know, it's absolutely incredibly technically proficient, you know, and it's a lesson for other manufacturers, I think, to sort of copy and just see how they've done it to make that interrupted flow of games. Speaking of interrupted flows, I can't remember the point I was trying to make, but anyway, yeah, no, good.
I guess the question is, though, what would make you stop playing Alan Wake, although you've already half answered that with your response to what would make you stop playing Red Dead Redemption?
However, it's probably Picross 3D, another game which just I can't stop playing. I'm in gaming heaven, and now Super Mario's coming out as well. I don't know what I'm going to do. I need to clone myself. But there you go.
Okay, so loads of great reviews for you there. Alan Wake on the Xbox 360, that's an exclusive to Xbox from Microsoft itself. PS3 exclusive this week, Mod Nation Races, reviewed by Rick. We also had Red Dead Redemption, which is available. If you can get your hands on it, it's been selling out all over the shop. And FIFA World Cup 2010, again, massively available. The big review next time round, though, will be Mario Galaxy 2. It's going to be possibly the greatest game of all time, we think, but we don't know. No, and we'll have a special on that. The special will be basically me and Brian playing Mario Galaxy 2, and Rick will be live at E3. Yeah, so check out the next podcast, where episode 16 it'll be. Rick live from LA. Oh, I get any chills just thinking about it. And here we'll be, back in the UK, where the sun is not shining, but
not
never mind
at all.
We've got the headline competition. We'll do that in just a couple of moments, but first in the mailbag, I've got one from Dave, who's tweeting us via Twitter. Red Dead Redemption, man. And so cool, he says. Love being a cowboy. Ha! The graphics are amazing. Even the little details, such as dust under the feet, is good. I must agree with that. Red Dead Redemption does look absolutely incredible. We got a tweet from Train Traumas as well. He says, check out Google today. You'll love it. Now, this was on the day that the Pac-Man, sort of the Google image,
Google
became
Doodle,
a playable Pac-Man game. And it sort of brought back memories of Pac-Man. Now, if you want memories of Pac-Man, you know, being brought back, you know, maybe write to Google, try and get him to do it again, because it would be great. Or if someone could find me an online version of that I can still play, can you tweet it to me? But whatever you do, don't get the original Pac-Man on WiiWare download, because it's rubbish. When you're playing it, you'll be thinking, oh, what if I downloaded this for? I thought it was going to be a classic title. It was only 400 points or whatever. Hey, I tell you what, it's not that great.
Did you see the news story the day after that Pac-Man Google Doodle?
Oh, that it cost about the UK economy £800 million.
Yeah, exactly. 2 million work hours were wasted by people playing Pac-Man on Google. It was amazing. Brilliant.
Absolutely. And just got to mention this one from Craig on Twitter. Great podcast as ever. In reference to episode 14, he says he's off to get some cowboy boots and a 10-gallon hat so I can play Red Dead Redemption in my underpants. Craig, hope you're enjoying it as much as Brian Shelf is. Do drop us a tweet with your reviews. If you want to say in any of the games or any of the issues we've touched on the programme, you can tweet us. Go to twitter.com/alinktothecast. You can also search A Link to the Cast on Facebook. And why not visit the website, www.alinktothecast.com. www.alinktothecast.co.uk. Click on the relevant radio station and then you can come through to us. There's also an email, and we've also got all the competitions on there, as well as the fact that Rick is going to be tweeting as well from E3, so we'll have all our updates on there too. So that's alinktothecast.co.uk. So yeah, it's the end of the show. It's been absolutely jam-packed, and the next podcast is going to be even brillianter. That's a new
it's
word.
It's going to be Mario-tastic,
absolutely. LA-tastic as well. Rick off to La La Land. I'm sure he cannot wait. The headline competition, yes, it's still here, still floating around like a bad smell. I was looking for your headlines for this story. The fact that an X Factor game is currently launching, or will be launching, this autumn on Wii, PS3 and Xbox 360. Obviously to tie in with a new series of X Factor. We think it's going to be like a SingStar stroke Lips type game. But I was looking for a headline competition. Brian Shelf, I'm going to start with you. What would your headline be?
Right, okay. I'm not going to do the obvious one, which Mick will probably do in a little bit. So I've gone for... it's rubbish, this. Wheel Young. Wheel Young. And he wasn't even X Factor, he was pop stars or whatever, wasn't it? Oh well. But go on. You two carry on. I'm sure you'll have done something equally as obvious.
Yep, that's pretty much what I thought you were going to go for. Ricardo, can you better that at all?
Well, I've gone for We've Got the X Factor, because obviously that's kind of catchphrasey.
Yeah, well, I've just gone for the straightforward Xbox Factor.
Yeah.
Which would have been the easiest one to do, and was nice and short, nice and tight, would have fitted on top of the Daily Star's front page or something like that. Not too bad at all.
As if it'd get on the Daily Star's front page.
Yes, well...
the launch of a singing game.
Look, there we go. So, thanks for joining us on A Link to the Cast. That was episode 15. We'll be back very soon with episode 16. Rick will be live from LA. We're going to be talking about Mario Galaxy 2 as well, which is going to be just absolutely outstanding. Rick will have exclusives after exclusives after exclusives. That's a promise. No pressure there, yeah. Rick, at all.
Oh, no. And it's all going to be on Twitter and on alinktothecast.co.uk.
Absolutely. I've mentioned them a million times. They're all on the website, alinktothecast.co.uk. UK. We will speak to you very soon. See you later. Bye.
Bye.